fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 67 of Metallicast, the Metallica podcast. I'm your host and fellow Metallica fan. My name is Brandon. On this episode, I'm joined by the first ever father-son pairing in Metallicast history, Chris and Evan Adamson. Evan celebrated his 13th birthday in a very unique way. Now, I do not even remember how I spent my 13th birthday. I do not even really remember even turning 13 years old. But Evan will forever remember his 13th birthday because he spent it on stage playing drums with Metallica. We talk about that whole experience and more in our conversation. So without further ado, here is my talk with Chris and Evan Adamson. My guests today are two huge Metallica fans. They are also the first father-son pairing I've ever had on the podcast. They've been to a bunch of Metallica shows. And, you know, a lot of people listening to this podcast have been to a lot of Metallica shows, but I'm pretty sure very few of us can claim we were on stage playing with Metallica like one of our guests can today. So please welcome to Metallicast, Chris and Evan Adamson. Chris and Evan, how are you guys?
We're good.
I'm good, thank you. You?
Very good, thanks. This is the part of the podcast where we pretend like we did not already say hello and talk to each other.
Yeah, we'll clarify it. It's 1 o'clock in the morning here in England, so we've got a couple of English tea here. There's no rock and roll, really.
Well, again, I thank you guys for, staying up just for this. The time differences can be brutal when you're trying to do this, so I appreciate you accommodating my schedule to do this. I'm looking forward to it. So let's start at the beginning. Let's talk about where the Metallica fandom begins for you guys.
Where does it begin? It goes back to when, well, in terms of, well, Evan's nearly, how old are you now? Nearly
15.
That's how early it is. We're not old. So Evan's nearly 15, and pretty much I would say Evan, in terms of like being a kid nearly from like sort of age of two, I think he was jumping around trying to be James Hetfield. So that well, that's how early it was for Evan. In terms of me, I mean, I'm 47 now. Back when I was 15, I was kind of in my prime heavy metal days. And you're going back to kind of 89 then, and I think heavy metal then was such a massive scene.
Right,
we had everything from like the thrash scene to the glam scene. I was a big Motley Crue fan actually, and I remember them days to like both. Well, it was in dodgy grounds. You either thrash or you glam. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a dangerous territory to cross those lines back in the day.
So like, even for the bands, I remember like Motley Crue and Metallica. You know, they wouldn't like each other, and it was all that kind of scene. And
right,
and
yeah.
And you watch them now, and obviously they all seem to be pals and kind of grown up a bit, I guess.
Yeah, we were just talking about that on my the last episode, because we were talking about the Bay Area metal scene of the 80s. And, you know, the LA is known as the hair metal place in America, but the Bay Area had a healthy amount of hair metal, glam metal bands. But, of course, it's known mostly for the thrash metal scene with Metallica. But, you know, it was all about how those bands were all friends with each other, maybe did not like each other's music, but you know, and nowadays, because you've been through it, you know, like you hear all the stories of like Metallica, Motley Crue clashing back in the day. But now, you know, you got to have that level of mutual respect, I think, at least with any band that's been around for as many years as both those bands have and have been through it all, you know, like literally life and death situations as a band. So
I think like Motley Crue's The Dirt, that's been out recently, and that's, you know, so many things just come kind of back to life, haven't they? And like I say, even as like a young fan back then, you know, we'd have friendly rivalry, you know what I mean, amongst each other. You know, you can't be a thrasher, you can't be glam, whatever. It was cool.
Right.
But I think, unless anyone's correct or wrong, I think that was a prime heavy metal days, don't you agree? In terms of just the array of music that was out there, it was crazy.
And we're never going to get, I think, I mean, I would love to see it, but I think realistically, heavy metal is never going to reach that level again in terms of like mainstream acceptance and popularity. It was really a phenomenon for that decade through like the very early 90s, you know, and then metal bands had to weather the storm of grunge, and then hip hop, you know, kind of took over as the dominant form of popular music in many places. And but I would love to see it. I don't think we will get there. So I think the 1980s will really live in a time capsule for, you know, that genre of music.
For sure. And I guess so sticking with that sort of time of my life, so 89, I was very lucky, and this is where the luck begins with Metallica. I used to know a guy called Mick McGuire, who is known as Shaky on the Metallica road, and more infamously, was the guy who suffocated James Hetfield. Yep. He used to just live around the corner from me.
Oh, wow.
And as young as I was, he would come off tour and I would end up kind of babysitting for him. He had a son and a daughter.
Yeah.
And if you can imagine, right, he's just come off tour and he would say, "Hi, Chris, come in. You know, he just wants to get the pub." he would say, just pretty much, "There's some videos over there. You can put them on." So I put these videos in. There were videos back in the day, and it would just be Metallica jamming backstage. And this course is in the days when, you know, you now jump on YouTube and you can watch anything you want, tuning room stuff.
Right.
This was like, oh my God, you know, this is great. I'm going to be babysitting here and the house could be on fire and I'm watching watching Metallica just, and you can remember like, well, the marquee gig in London. He had all this kind of stuff that he'd done on his own camcorder.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, like I say, just gobsmacked, and I'm ringing my friends back on the old dialer phone. Lads, come around the house. You're not going to believe what I'm watching now. There'll be all sorts of like tour jackets lying around, and the diaries that if you go on the Metallica experience that you pay money for now, they have these like tour diaries, all these kind of things just lying around his house. So it's just absolutely heavy metal heaven.
That's awesome.
So again, linking in with this guy, like I say, that this was the guy who set fire to James. I think it was in Toronto. It was the famous gig where James sort of burnt all his hand and what have you. So like I say, Mick was obviously on tour. He did the whole Justice tour, and I can't remember actually now because I was young back then and I haven't spoken for years. I don't know how long he was with Metallica in terms of tours, but Justice tour headed north where we are. And I was looking to get kind of backstage passes. Mm-hmm. And again, you call it backstage passes. Again, we're naive. So went to the show, you know, very lucky to see Metallica on the Justice tour. And then, you know, I'm keen to go back and just watch it again, you know. My mind's a bit vague, taking us back all those years. But quite naively, I remember sort of maybe about 3/4 of the show, me and my friend had these passes and we were like, let's try and get backstage. So what kind of level was the side of the stage, if that makes sense? And I can only think that I think Kirk Hammett must have been doing a guitar solo. So Jason's in his kind of like pit. Mm-hmm. And so Jason's up the height of me and he looks down and he sees us and he's trying to get my attention. And I was pretending to be shy. So I was like, oh God, Jason's waving at us and what do I do? And the security guy's like, excuse me, son, Jason's, he wants you, and I was like, so he waves us up. So I ends up climbing kind of on the amps and I'm in Jason's little pit and he like shook me hand and he gives it back to him and he's like, you know, enjoy the show. And I'm climbing back down and like, oh wow, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the show kind of finished and I ended up, Jason was the only one that I met then. And I really don't think about it. I was standing on Justice for All stage with Jason. You know, and he's just standing talking to us. And again, you know, you talk about, wow, yeah, what I would do to go back. Because I was just a dumbstruck teenager. And
right, yeah.
There was some bass strings, and he's like, oh, are you stealing my bass strings? And I was like, yep. And I don't think I said much else. But I just thought it was, you know, looking back, what a lovely gesture it was to from the sort of get us up and kind of look after us a little bit. And
that's awesome.
So, yeah, that's taking us back to, and I mean, I didn't even have any pictures, you know what I mean, stuff like that. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh.
I mean, how old were you at this time? Not to date yourself.
I don't know. I'm 47 now, so I was about 15.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll just tell you another quick story about that because we'll come back. So Big Mick, Mick Hughes.
Yeah.
So I found myself, so the concert finished, was sat in the auditorium, and I'm sat with Big Mick. And he was a character that you picked up there, and you know, those people trying to creep in, and he's shouting at them, and hey, you're floating in like butterflies, get out, and whatever. But I remember he was actually telling us about the band when they were picking on Jason. Mm-hmm. Can we all know that's, you know, that's what went on. And I think Mick was quite taken aback by it. And he was actually telling us about it. You know, he's going, you know, Jason gets a raw deal. I think he was a bit gutted by what he was saying, you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I really remember him sort of sitting telling us that.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, so that's going way back to I'm 15, and like, what an experience. You know, Jason's had us up on just a stage, and at the end I'm standing talking to Jason, and really, and just dead frustratingly, was that my dad's friend come to pick me up, and so I hadn't met the rest of the band. Potentially we're going to meet all the rest of the band, and you need my dad's friend was getting impatient, and he was like, we're going to have to go, so we had to leave. When we met Jason, it was
right, you know, yeah.
So yeah, so that was back in my early experiences.
Wow, so no wonder you caught the bug. I mean, you have kind of this unique experience of being able to see this cool footage and then have that amazing concert experience where you're on stage for a moment and have that interaction and have that moment. So the fandom obviously continues. And so how many times have you seen them now? Do you even know?
Yeah, I've seen them 14 times.
Yeah.
Evan, you know, how many?
10.
Which 10's not bad for a 14-year-old.
You only got 4 more on him, so.
Yeah, but I tell you what, he'll never get justice on his, do you know what I mean? He can try. How many times have you seen them?
Oh, that's a great question. I think, I want to say 10. I think 10.
What was the earliest?
So I was later to the scene because... just of my age, I was born in 85. I'm 36. So like I remember seeing the Inter Sandman music video when it was brand new, but I was in first grade. So I remember getting like the cassette when I was in elementary school. And then when I was in sixth grade, I got my first CD player, and Load was like brand new. So I got, that was the first CD I had. And then when I was in middle school, I, you know, went back, did my homework, got Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning, Master Puppets, and Justice for All, started reading all these books and interviews. And, you know, this was before the internet, just kind of educating myself on the history of Metallica and watching Kill 'Em All, watching Cliff 'Em All, and then getting the live shit box set, and, you know, just going through the whole process. And so I did not get around to seeing them till I was in high school. It was Summer Sanitarium 2000. But that was a cool tour to see them on because they were not really promoting anything specific. So the set list was like really well-rounded where they did, you know, stuff from each album. Like I Disappear was the most recent song. So they did that song. They did No Leaf Clover. They did, you know, a couple things from Load and Reload, but then the rest of it was all like old school stuff. So it was a good, like, well-balanced set. And it was kind of a unique time where they don't have like a brand new album out where they're, you know, promoting. So it was a cool first show to see. And I remember I was in it was at Gillette Stadium in New England. And I was in the stands. Like, so I was up there and I was like, this is the farthest away I will ever be to see Metallica. And from that point forward, I made sure I was, you know, on the field, on the floor, whatever, just to be as close as possible to that stage. But yeah, it was, I think I want to say 10 times I've seen them. I've seen a couple cool ones like I saw them at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when they got inducted. So I've been lucky to see a couple unique ones, and you know, and now when they, you know, come on tour, I see them as many times as the wallet, wife and child and all that stuff allows, you know. yeah.
Oh, the last tour killed us, but we'll get to that. So I just kind of going back to the only I seen them about the year after, and I think for all those who have to pay for the Metallica experience now, I think that's my fault, as in the meet and greet, and I think that's my fault, because to me, my friend went, and of course, I've been little back then, I'm talking, I took a pile of vinyl like this, and I was like, I think everything I had, and I was like, can you sign this? And they were like, and Kirk actually went, Kirk had signed a load of my stuff, and he come back, he went, you again? And I just had this never-ending pile of vinyl, jackets, jumpers, I was just like, and so I think it's from that, I do apologize to everybody, I think from then, they went, right, we can't just let them have free flow. We need to charge them. We need to get them in line. Two items. I got jammed on the one signature. I do apologize.
I've never had the luck of winning a meet and greet, but I have met the members, except for James. Never had the privilege to meet James. Yeah. And now it's even harder to meet him because he's a lot more private with his time. So from there, let's
let's introduce me wingman,
yes. The partner in crime.
So we've got to round about two, I'm starting to think he's picking up the metal here, and round about five he's kind of starting tinkering around with the pots and pans for being a drummer. And then I remember Leeds 2015, Metallica playing Leeds Festival, and we're not going to reasons why, but Evan couldn't make that gig. And it wasn't my fault. It wasn't Evan's fault. So I had wanted to take him. And I went with some friends, and it actually broke his heart, right? Like, literally broke his heart.
Yeah.
I mean, how old were you then? Were you about 10?
Oh, yeah.
Not very good at the maths yet. But Evan was about 10, and he knew I was there. And I remember, actually, I rang him. I was watching. The stage was being set up, and I rang him. And I said, how are you doing, son? He was like, I'm okay, Dad. And it, and basically that night he lay in bed for hours sobbing, I cried. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Ecstasy, come on, which was a killer anyway. So I'm crying, thinking Evan should have been here. Evan wasn't there. Yeah. And so I come back and I managed to get him one of the big black, the floaty balls and Metallica on. I got him a plectrum and stuff. So I softened a little bit. But so a few months later, we're out in the car, and I went to a shop and I got back in the car. And he was sobbing. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And I was like, what's going on? And I was like, are you okay? And he was inconsolable. I went, what's up? He went, I missed Metallica, Dad. I wish I'd been there. And this was months after the show, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, shit, that's hit his heart. You know, it just really, really hit home.
Yeah.
So that was that. And then Copenhagen 2017. Can you remember when Metallica did the four gigs out in Copenhagen?
I
think it was just prior to Hardwire. I think it was just kind of... Just testing the water with stuff. Is that right?
It was the Hardwired tour.
It was a Hardwired tour. Had it probably kicked off then, or was it?
Yeah.
Had it? Mm-hmm. Well, so they've done the four show, and infamously it was when James had lost his voice on one of the four. So that was coming up, and it was around Christmas, and I thought, I need tickets for this gig. It was going to be my next opportunity, I think, from Leeds to make it up to Evan. And I thought, well, it'll be a great Christmas present. So that's pretty much what I did. I got two tickets for Copenhagen. I think I'd missed the general sale, so I ended up spending, it ended up costing us quite a bit of money, but I was like, I'm not bothered. So Christmas morning, I had wrapped the tickets up, and I think I put them in the Metallica card. And there's a great video goes with that where Evan kind of reads it out loud, and he's like, what does it say? It's like, it's something like, Merry Metallica Christmas. You're off to Copenhagen to see, and he just bursts into tears again. So it makes a great video, and it ended up getting, I think I put it on my Facebook just to show my friends, and the roadie who I used to babysit for, his son ended up doing Death Magnetic tour as a pyrotechnician as well.
Yeah.
But that was the only tour he did. So he kind of flung it out with a few of his pals, and long story short, he inboxed and said, listen, Chris, I've seen what this is going to mean to Evan. So when you go to Copenhagen, you're going to be meeting a guy called Jay. So that's all we knew. And this is when it all started. Shit got real. so we literally landed in Copenhagen. Oh, by the way, I don't know if anyone's seen Evan with the big Union Jack. So it's a big Union Jack with metallic hair, and it's got Pusshead skull on, and it's got Evan, and since got all the embroidered dates on. So we literally gets off the plane while the Union Jack round, we're straight to the venue. There was no sightseeing. got the venue, and then we met this guy called JD, who is absolutely just a beautiful person. He's got a heart of gold. And he actually works with Mick Hughes, Big Mick, who I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So basically walks into the Copenhagen Arena. What's it called again?
It's the Royal Arena.
The Royal Arena, yeah, in Copenhagen. And the day we got in there, there was nobody else in other than the crew. And so he's like, nice to meet you guys and what have you. He kept on saying, right, I'm going to take you for a walk. And each walk would just be just something just jaw-dropping. just even sitting in the mixing desk, you know, and if you imagine, yeah, you've got the target stages set up, we're in the mixing desk, this arena of 14,000 people is empty, and we're just sat there behind the mixing desk, like, wow, look at each other, like, see where we are. And it was just, you know, and then he would say, right, guys, come with me. And he took what to say. He kept on saying, I want you to, I'm going to introduce you to Jimmy, who is Lars Ulrich's drum tech, Jimmy Clark. Yeah. And Jay actually said, I'm going to get you to meet the nicest guy in rock, is what he said. So went and met Jimmy, and just having a bit of chat. I said, oh, Evan's a drummer. And he went, is he? And he went, okay. He says, get in the kit. And what Jimmy said at that point, he said, I've never ever let anybody on the kit before. And it was like, wow. So yeah, we're in Copenhagen, the Royal Arena. The kit's there. It's Evan's first ever Metallica gig.
Wow.
And then he gets on the kit, and nobody was expecting, other than me, was Evan to just start blasting one in the double bass.
Yeah.
And Jimmy, I've got a video, Jimmy's looking at me, he's going, like, fucking hell. Like, woo! You know, the kid can play. And he actually said, he's better than Lars, keep that between us. So Evan just starts blasting one straight off. I think they expected, you know, like a few pots and pans, shall we say.
Evan's maybe straight, a basic beat, like, boop, boop, chip, boop, boop, boop. Yeah.
Yep. And so Evan just gets straight into one, and he's blasting it, and he stops, and the whole arena, so all the crew, all Metallica, you've got James, everybody, Chad, everybody just like, wow. So let's just remind you, this is Evan's first Metallica gig. He's just come off Lars's kit. He's just smashed one, the double bass. The whole road crew was just like, woo. It was just like, I mean, what was it like for you, Evan?
I didn't even know what to play. Like, I didn't even know what to, like, even start doing on the kit. It was like, it was just so, I just didn't expect it at all. Like, yeah. I was sat, like, for my first Metallica gig, and next thing, you know, I'm just on Lars's kit. Like,
right.
Like, I mean, yeah, well,
my first Metallica gig, I was in the stands, like I said. So not that I'm jealous, Evan. Not that I'm jealous.
And it was like I say. So that was that. And I'm like, wow. And then, and then just everything, just from like every little thing of just being in the staff catering rooms. Do you know what I mean? Like, so just while all the crew are hanging around, and you're just taking every bit in. You're just sucking every bit in. And I remember I walked past this door, and I seen tuning room. So you see, you know, it's Lars's green kit and stuff. And I said to Jay, and I was like, oh, being a bit cheeky. I thought you were going to take the opportunity. I said, Jay, any chance we can go in there? And Jay was like, I'm not sure. Because what I think what you start realizing is the more you get behind the stage or backstage, there's a kind of levels to it. You know, where the band are, the security is really strict. You know, sure. you can't just wander about. Yeah, your passes become really kind of scrutinized. And so when you're getting anywhere near the tuning room, you're in golden circle kind of material.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of cheekily asked to Jay, any chance we'll have a look in here? And he went, 2 seconds, I'll have to ask, you know. And I mean, Jay's worked Metallic for like 15 years, something like that. So you just get a sense of, you know, we're very lucky and be sniffing around the place. So we're allowed in, and it was Met Mixer.
Mm.
Do you know Mike, what's Mike Gillies?
Yeah.
Mike Gillies, do you know who I mean?
Yeah.
So this is kind of Mike's territory, and he's like, yeah, sure, come on in, guys. And and yeah, you go, Evan, there's Rob's bass. Go on, get in the drum kit. Yeah, Chris, there's. Wow. And I'm standing there with James's Iron Cross.
Wow.
In the tuning room. So me and him's playing Metallica. He's on the drums, and I've got James, and we've got the tongues out, but you know. And you're just doing these things, just like, oh, you know, like, wow. And again, this is Evan's first Metallica gig. It was just,
It seems like just like an out of body experience. Like you're present, obviously, but you're just, your mind's like looking down on you, like this can't be real.
You've got it. You know, you're doing these things while you're like still looking down on it, and you know, right. you're kind of trying to take it in. Whilst
that's literally how it felt when I was on stage. That is literally how I felt. Like just like exactly like that.
Yeah. So I had like sort of 10 minutes in the tuning room, sort of pausing with all the guitars and stuff, and then the gig was going to start, and Evan got pressed the button to start the show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, remember that. So when Evan hits that button, then you've got AC/DC's Long Way at the Top.
Yeah.
So that was that, and I mean, obviously, you just absolutely loved the gig. What do you think of the gig?
It was an in gig, wasn't it? The set list was good. We had Orion, just for James's break for his voice.
Yeah.
Whiplash was a good set.
Yeah, it was a good set. Yeah.
We had a good break as well. It was like that balcony and like overviews.
Yeah. So what? And obviously, I had a Paso with Liberty, just like wandering about anywhere I wanted when the mixing desk went, and then we're up higher and just pointed wherever we want, you know.
That's awesome.
And even after the show, because Jimmy had said, come and see us. So we went down, Jimmy unscrewed the snare, so he gets the skin that Lars had been playing with night.
Yeah.
As we're down there, again, Mike Gillies was like, come on, get up on the stage. So he gets on the stage and he shouted at Justin, it was Kirk's roadie, Justin, give him the mummy. So, you know.
Yeah.
So you're on stage, you've got the mummy. You know, you've got the skin off the kit. There's plectrums still on the stage, so Evan's still crowd, and Evan's throwing these plectrums out and these guys. It was just, you know. So if you remember, you know, not so long ago, Evan's been crying because he's missed Metallica at Leeds.
Right. Yeah.
And then he's just done the whole shebang. You know, he's just done pretty much. You know, one of those things you'd be happy with in life, wouldn't you? Just absolutely. Sure.
And now you're thinking, all right, the next time I see Metallica will be cool, but it'll kind of suck because I'm not going to have this experience ever again.
You know it. I mean, pretty much from then on, I think. So that was his first gig. And then we ended up doing, well, like you said, we've done 10.
Next was London.
Yeah, we did London. Name some of the places we've been.
So next it was London. Then it was Glasgow. Then it was Manchester. And then after that, it was Barcelona. And no, Stuttgart, then Helsinki. Then after that, it was...
Evan's a bit like the Lars Ulrich of the team. The dates are all there, and I'm just like...
I was gonna comment too. He also has like the Lars robe going on right now. He just needs like the toothpick, and he's good to go. Yeah.
When he finishes the podcast, he puts it on and he walks out. And what was actually happening between all those gigs, as Evan's saying, is James in particular would get an eye for him.
Yeah.
So there was lots of fist bumps. There was lots of just pointing at him. Again, we're always looking to get these real bits where we knew they would be coming out. So, and again, there's a video out there of the culmination of James fist bumping him. He's on Instagram where James comes up and stops and goes, "Hi, it's you again," or something. And what's your name again? And he's like, "I'm Evan. That's you. I've heard about you." And he's like, "Whoa!" And every time there's tears from Evan, it's like, "Whoa!"
Yeah.
So things were building in Helsinki. Do you want to see what happened in Helsinki?
We got like rail at Helsinki, like front row. And we got in like, we just managed to just scrape in early, didn't we?
Yeah.
We were like, Jay was busy and we were like trying to get in just a bit early. And we literally got in with like 5-10 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Let's sprint straight at the rail. And we got a good spot just where was there. It was Lars's like kind of pit, wasn't it?
Yeah, again, there was a lot going on. You had Lars's pit and where they'd all come in. So it was a good spot.
Yeah.
And
then, because, you know, can you remember like on like the indoor tours, James would
He would often talk like, to the kids. He would spot a kid in the crowd.
Yeah.
Dedicate. He would dedicate Sabotru to some like a young person in the crowd. And like, sure. I knew if I got to the rail, I'd probably get it. And I got, I knew. I remember. What's James?
Chad.
Yeah. Like, James got Chad to like put his like his drop tune guitar at the microphone that like I was in front of just for Sabotru. Like he walked from the other side of the stage for that one.
Yeah.
Just to like to, awesome. To dedicate Sabotru to me.
I think what had happened being between the lines there, I think James has obviously spotted him. Because imagine if you're on stage, it all looks the same, doesn't it? The most
sure.
window.
Right, yeah.
I think James might have set the chart early in the show, put it over there for Sad.
Yeah.
So when the song finished, Chad come running right to the stage and put it in front, which was a reminder for James to go in front.
Yeah, yeah. Super cool.
He spoke to me earlier on in the gig.
Yeah, he spoke to me earlier. So he got the whole... It's you, the man with the cape. So we had quite a bit of banter there, and again, you've got the whole stadium kind of looking down at Evan and cheering and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, it was never ending. Do you know what I mean? You think we've done everything, bang, there'll be something else would come along, or some experience that was just like I say. Any one of these, as a Metallica fan, you are forever grateful for.
Of course, yeah.
It's just in abundance. You know what I mean? And it was never. Ever taken for granted, or we're getting cocky with it. You know, Evan's he's a very humble young lad, and the tears say a lot. So I think it was, like I say, it was things were just building, and like I say, James had a bit chat with him. So cue the next kind of credit card busting thought, which was, so while I'm talking about all these opportunities we've got, in terms of meeting them, even Jay, said it's a bit tricky for us to get you to meet them, you know, because of the hierarchy and then the sure. level where you get to, which again, we were never seen come and meet them. It was just, hey, whatever happens, we're cool. You know, getting the pass is just like, wow, this is great. Yeah. Just sitting, you know, just seeing behind the scenes is amazing. So again, a culmination of things. I had Evan's 13th birthday coming up. And again, they would keep on going with the tour, and it was so more dates got added. And then when I looked on Evan's 30th birthday, was Amsterdam. So I thought, this has to be done, doesn't it? I have to pay for a meet and greet. So me and my friend frantically were sitting like, well, obviously we managed to get it. And off we went again, traveling Europe. And again, people are probably aware there was a lot of pre-gigs. So the night before, I'm not going to go too far back, but I just remember briefly on the road, Paris, we've got a tip off about Robin Lars were going to be in a certain bar promoting that was the night beer. So yeah. that was another thing, just to quickly throw them up. Just quickly, we'll just mention, we met Robin there in his bar. We'll not talk about that too much. But yeah, so the, on the pre-night of Amsterdam, it was actually brilliant, wasn't it? Because I know Wayne was on the other week, Wayne Summers from England, and the Metallica family are just amazing. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
People from all over the world, all over Europe, all over England. Evan was becoming a familiar face on the road with his flag, and hey, Evan, picture with you, and I'll stand out of the way, and all of them be paparazzied. So the pre night was amazing. We went to kind of two different places, didn't we?
Like three, I think.
Was the three were
that we had one at the start.
The Hard Rock Cafe. But it was that night when so there was a band on. Can you remember the tribute band? What they were called?
That was I was thinking of Paris. That was because the Paris was like the one we went all shooting about. But Amsterdam was in there. Yeah, that. That tribute band was on. Yeah.
Right. Then the one like on the stage.
Yeah.
Can I remember what they're called? So sorry. Confirming details here. So there was a band on a tribute band, and I went in this bar and I said, actually Metallica photographer Brett was there. We'll get Brett, a very great lad again. I asked the drummer of this band, I said, oh, excuse me, I said, my son's a drummer. I said, a lot of people in here know of him and they're asking if he's going to be playing tonight. I said, any chance he can jump on to do a song? I said, you'll get a great reception. And I know he's just a kid. And he was like, And I showed him the video of him drumming on Lars's kit in Copenhagen. So he watched it and he went, your son, he is a good drummer, but I won't let him. I says, okay. no problem, dickhead. So he did let him on, and I was like, a bit frustrating, but would have been good, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I was telling Brett, Brett Marie, Metallica's photographer, I said, oh, Brett, shame out, this guy wouldn't let Evan on. And I was showing Brett, Evan playing on Lost Kit. He said, is that Evan? I went, yeah. He went, send me that. So I give it to Brett. Brett then blasted across to Lars. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's all I knew at that point. I think Brett said, Evan might not want to change his Instagram story tomorrow, his Instagram name tomorrow. And that was that. So leading on to the next day, which was gig day, I will end that story. I'll get back to that bit. So it's his birthday, and we head to the meet and greet, don't we? And it was clearly the long anticipated wait of Evan and James actually meeting, because there'd been all this offstage fist pumping and hi, how's you?
Right.
I mean, what, do you want to talk a bit about the meet and greet?
It was a long day. It was a lengthy, good day.
Yeah.
We got the venue pretty early.
Yeah.
Can you remember meeting people outside? We like had like a meeting section outside.
Yeah.
Then we went in, and it was just like that buffet and the
spin. But also about the band, it was good that you finally got me the band, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember waiting in like the room, and like there was like a massive draw curtain, and like Metallica were like just behind us. It was so weird, wasn't it? Like we could just hear them talking on the other side, and like they could hear us. I remember like someone said like, listen, James is talking, right? And James was like, I can hear you guys.
The anticipation was building, and like I say, it was great just to meet them, and I'm sure as you hear, they're all pretty much down to earth, and and I'd said to Lars, so Lars came, and I was saying, oh, were you impressed with Evan's drumming? And he went, oh, he says, was that you? And I was like, yeah. And so all I said was, because I was saying it's his birthday, and I said, any chance Evan could get on stage tonight? And all he said was, I'll see what I can do. That was that, and there was certainly nothing planned. That was that. And I mean, like I say, we met the band, and it was good. And then come stage time, just when we think we've done everything, we're snake pit, because of course when you pay for your meet and greet, you get best seats or standing in the house.
Right. Yeah.
And we're with a girl called Camilla, and I think she's done 101 shows or something. And I'm whispering, and I'm saying to her, do you think Lars will get him up? And she went, 100%, he will be on that stage. And I was going, do you think? She was going, yes, yes, yes. So just where we're front, Lars is doing his bit. He gets off, he turns around, and he just seen Evan. And he went, are you coming? And it was as quick as that. Bam. Next thing you know, he's on stage.
That's amazing. And I have to say, you were a little too comfortable on that drum set. Like, you didn't, I don't know if you were freaking out, but you didn't come across. You were very confident. Just you obviously like nailed the part. It was a really phenomenal job. So kudos to you, Evan. I mean, I can't remember my 13th birthday, and you will always remember yours. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, what was it, two years ago?
Yeah.
And it'll always just blow your mind. You know what I mean? I mean, it just doesn't get better. I'm nearly speechless again. You know, your heroes, and I'll watch some of the South American gigs, and you see these seas and seas and seas of people, and it just always reminds you how big Metallica are, how many millions of us are out there to be on stage, to play with them, and like I say, to just be cool, calm, confident, and to pull it out of the bag, bang. It's just the absolute finale, isn't it? I mean, you're never going to top it. It's
right. And that's why every concert from here on out will just be like.
Because I think we've seen where you sometimes let people come up, whether it's kids or adults, and they'll do the crash, then they're off. Now, of course, it all links because, of course, he knows that Evan can drum. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Had he not known that, had Brett not sent that, you know, that video, because you hear what you probably don't hear is he says to Evan, seek and destroy, you know it. He says something, I don't know, you know it. So he's got the, excuse me, I'm burping here. He's got the confidence that he knows Everton can pull it off. And if you kind of watch Lars, you can see he's thinking, because what's the golden rules? If you go live with animals and kids, it can all go wrong.
Right, yeah.
You kind of watch Lars, he's doing the count, and he's like this, and he's going, and he starts pulling off, he goes, and he looks at James, he's done it, you know what I mean? Because I guess Lars could look like a bit of a tit had it all went wrong, you know what I mean? Just a big shit that happened, and get him off, and, you know. So you can see the relief in Lars, you can see the relief in all the band, actually. Rob's like, and Kurt, they're all like, and I mean, I was just swearing, I was just, I couldn't even put a sentence together. So it was just like, wow. I mean, Evan's got a few regrets, because I don't know if you can think of the video, James says, Dyer's Eve. Now, Evan can play Dyer's Eve on drums, and he wishes, because of course James wouldn't expect Evan to be able to play Dyer's Eve, right? So if you imagine, Evan just starts playing Dyer's Eve, shit, do you know what I mean? The band I'm going to play Dyer's Eve, do you know what I mean? Which you never see live, you never hear live, right, so that's been... So, what was it? Have you got another regret?
It was just totally different, like, on stage. Like unless I was facing the way James was, like, I couldn't hear him at all. Like, it was so weird. Like, for the whole thing, I couldn't hear any of the other band's guitars or anything like that. I just had to, like, cue the piece in my head, really. I just had to play what I knew. That's why, like, I couldn't hear a thing.
Because of course they've all got earpieces and stuff. So
The sound's designed to go out, not in, so it's in your earpiece.
All I heard him say was, "Are you ready?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, "At least I nodded." Like he went, "Dyer's Eve, you ready?" And I nodded, and I looked like I was about to start playing. Yeah, at least I did that. But like, if I literally heard him say "Dyer's Eve," I would have started playing it.
Yeah,
and it would have been like,
yeah,
I think James would have started playing it. Right?
Yeah. So that's how you get your money out of an experience package, right?
You guys really milked that experience package.
it was funny because obviously I started sending the video back home and I was at work 2 weeks before that and I was telling a guy from work and I said to him, I'm telling you, he'll be on that stage, and it was about 2 weeks later. He was sitting at home and he was looking at something on his phone. And he looked and he went, you'll have to excuse me, I'm a Geordie. So he says, he's only gone and done it. He's only gone and done it. He couldn't believe it. He was like, he said he would be on stage and the lad was on stage. He was like,
it's amazing. So then, you know, you have that moment, but then, you know, it spreads all over online. It kind of goes viral. You know, Metallica puts it on their social media and then you have other outlets picking it up. Local news and Loudwire and other places. So that must have been surreal too, where it's just like a 24-hour period or so where it's just like boom, 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 boom. Like everywhere is this, you know, this freak thing that who knew it was going to happen when it all started.
I see all my Instagram was blowing up. I remember I was at my friend's house and like it was just going up and up. I think I made like I timed it about 2,000 in the space of like 10 minutes or something.
Yeah. You talk about your sort of 5 minutes of fame. For about 3 days, my head was just busted. I just couldn't cope, you know. I mean, there was, and again, this is the beauty of the Metallica family and everyone looking after each other. We're getting, people were sending videos of like news footage from Argentina and, you know, it was just. And it just continues. And it, I mean, there's a video where Evan's got he's Union Jack, and Ecstasy's playing, the band are coming out, and he gets a fist bump. This weekend alone, that relaunched somehow, and it went on platforms of around about 20 million potential people. Jason Newsted's wife Nicole, she kind of launched it, which then Metallica launched it. Jessica Lars's girlfriend, she launched it. So again, that was just the weekend gone. Field of about 20 million potential people watching Evan with his Metallica flag and James giving a fist bump, his tears, ecstasy. It's just been, that's awesome. I mean, you know, as a father and son bond, you couldn't write it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And of course, as we all know, whoever's this Metallica, just everything it means to have your son on board, with all this, you know, it's just been an absolute dream ticket. I never expected this. So it's just been amazing. You know what I mean?
That's amazing.
Sorry, I did say I'll come back to a story. So you remember the band that who wouldn't let Evan play on his drum kit?
Yeah.
As I referred to the dickhead. About 2 days later, I was like, I had a light bulb moment. I went, So I went on his Facebook page, the band's Facebook page, and I put, hey, drummer, I know you weren't keen for Evan to play on your drum kit. I said, but don't worry, Lars didn't mind. And I put a picture of him and Lars. Lars doing that. And to be fair, he's seen the funny side, and so did all his band, and they were all taking the piss out of him. And hopefully he's never lived it down. So it was like, I don't want yours. We'll just go on Lars, it's your right.
That's awesome.
So, it's just been amazing.
That's a phenomenal story. So, Evan, dad made up for it? Going to that show without you?
I'm done now. I'm done. I can die a happy man. I'm done. We've had some times.
Yeah. That is, really once in a lifetime opportunity. Evan, you playing in any bands or anything?
Not really, no.
It's quite hard, and I think it's a sign of the times, really, in terms of, we're talking back.
Sure,
In the days when music was just off the scale, kids these days, computers and stuff, he's a hell of a drummer, he really is. So we'll get him there. Actually, again, you talk about how things, Sure Deodorant, you heard of that? Do you know Sure Deodorant?
No.
No, it's a big deodorant, the worldwide, as far as we're concerned. They've just been in touch. They possibly want to use Evan for an advert.
Oh, cool.
They're a global company. So that's, you just talk about things that come out of any potential drumming techniques and just the whole Metallica thing. That's why the guy got in touch. He said, we're seeing him drumming with Metallica. So, I hope it's inspiration for any young people out there. Because Metallica are cool with that. If there's any kids going to shows, don't be shy. Dad, throw them on stage.
Especially if he plays drums or guitar or bass or can hold the melody. You know?
You want your money's worth, just don't be shy. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming on and sharing your story. I'll end with this. Favorite Metallica album?
We talk about this often.
We do. Justice.
Right.
In that it's my that era when I was a kid and I was diehard metal. It's Justice or Ride.
It's literally it's between either Ride or Justice. There isn't a bad track on both.
What's yours?
Mine is Master. Yeah. I just think it's, Ride the Lightning maybe would be second for me. I just think Master Puppets is like the perfect album from start to finish. And I've said it a million times, but if somebody out there's never heard Metallica, if you played the song Master Puppets, that sums up everything that they do best as a band, I think, in 8 amazing minutes.
Yeah, it got voted the best song, didn't it?
Yeah. So where can everybody find, if anybody wants to seek out you guys online and maybe check out some cool Metallica videos and pictures, is there a place where everybody can find you?
Yeah, Instagram's probably the best. And like I say, we've got some kind of behind the scenes kind of like bits and bobs of pictures and with the crew. Again, I'm not sure that Metallica crew will be listening, but it'd be an amazing lot, the whole lot, everybody. Like I said, Jimmy, Brett, the photographers, Jay, Big Mick, waffling again. Mine's ADAZ99 is my Instagram.
Mine's just Evan Adaz, Evan ADAZ, all one word.
Yeah, well, you'll find a few cool bits and bobs.
Awesome. So give them a follow. If you've not seen the video of Evan playing Sing and Destroy, definitely check it out. I'll put a link in the episode description for everybody listening to check it out. Thank you again, guys. This was awesome. You guys are welcome back on Metallicast anytime. Next time we can do like a deep dive into a song, album, or concert, or we'll do something, or just do a more general Metallica talk.
Why not? We'll love it. Talk about them all day, every day.
why do you think I do a podcast? It's I say half jokingly, if I didn't, you know, my wife got tired of me talking about Metallica, so I had to start a podcast. And talk to other people about them.
It can be a lonely world, can't it? Because whilst I always say this, Metallica are one of the biggest bands in the world, yet they're still quite underground, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, yeah. A lot of people have heard of them, but, you know, but, and like I say, you just want to talk about them, don't you? You breathe the guys. It's great.
Well, thank you, Chris. Thank you, Evan. Yeah. This was awesome. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Maybe I'll even see you on tour one day.
Definitely.
When touring's the thing again.
we do need to. The States is definitely on my cards, isn't it? We'll get across there because you guys are great, dead friendly, and it'd be great to get across in
awesome. Few
beers. Take care. Definitely. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one, guys. Thank you for staying up late.
Not a problem. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Now, bye.
A big thank you to both Chris and Evan Adamson for coming on Metallicast. If you have not seen the video of Evan performing on stage with Metallica, check out the link in the episode description. You can also find links to their Instagram accounts if you want to give them a follow. They both have some cool Metallica pictures and videos posted on their respective accounts. If you are new to the podcast and would be so kind, please give me a subscription, download the episodes, leave a positive 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and give me a follow on social media at Metallicast Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, middle up your ass. Yeah. Fans not experts.